Perhaps we've never considered afflictions as a form of blessings, but if you were to really analyze the purpose of afflictions, and especially as the portion that we were commissioned to speak about today, to endure them, the result indeed is a blessing to all of us. The purpose of the Apostle Paul's two epistles to Timothy, perhaps we'll be repeating a little bit, but it was to encourage and to instruct a young pastor in what was a new work to him, a ministerial work. Whether Timothy was still in Ephesus, as he was when Paul wrote to him in his first epistle, we cannot be certain. But in 1 Timothy 1:3, it seems there that Paul seemed to assign Ephesus to the special care of Timothy. Timothy was one of the evangelists who worked with Paul and traveled about with him doing the Lord's work throughout the six churches of Asia Minor. This, as you look on your map today, is the country of Turkey. Ephesus was a commercial, it was a political, and it was the religious center of that country. Ephesus was deeply religious and well-established in the worshiping of idols, and especially Diana, the goddess of fertility, being the very most prominent. It was in the city that Demetrius, the silversmith, had persuaded the people to rise up against the Apostle Paul and those who were with him because their teachings were threatening his livelihood, which was making the silver shrines to the goddess Diana. Gaius and Aristarchus were apprehended by the mob and would have been harmed had it not been for the town clerk's intervention and his appeasement of the people. That scene is found in Acts 20, 24 through 41. What we are endeavoring to do is set the background or the environment in which this young brother, Timothy, was appointed by the Apostle Paul to minister. Evangelism is defined as the preaching of or the zealous effort to spread the gospel. From some of the apostles' admonitions to Timothy, it would seem that Timothy, as we said perhaps a little bit yesterday, was somewhat reluctant, a little timid, and a little hesitant in performing his assignment. And one of these we would again consider with you. It is found in 2 Timothy 1:7-8. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. These scriptures do give us an insight into Timothy's makeup. And he, as we said, seemed somewhat reluctant, perhaps caught up in the spirit of fear. And we know that Proverbs 25:29 says that the fear of man is a snare. We all have weaknesses, and Timothy had this weakness, and one perhaps that we share ourselves. Peter feared to be identified also as a follower of the Lord, and many others perhaps who are not recorded in the Holy Writ. If this is so then, and it may be a shortcoming of a lot of our brethren, the question is, how can we then remedy this problem? For if we do not remedy it, then we cannot endure afflictions or hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. If we have fear filling our hearts and minds and holding us back, how can we then dispel fear? What can we do to better cope with our feelings when afflictions come to us? First, we must view the afflictions as special dealings with us from the Lord, as part of His overruling providences, as part of His shaping experiences for our very good. It is essential that we have an understanding of why these afflictions are so important to us. And then we must deal with the question of attitude towards the trials of afflictions that are seen necessary for us. Let us explore some of the areas where we might have problems and see if we can find a way to help ourselves improve in these areas. The most basic thing that we must have in handling and enduring trials or afflictions is faith. We must never lose sight that our Heavenly Father is in total control and is overseeing all of our affairs and customizing our every experience. Afflictions to the world are a curse, and they seek quick relief from these things. To the follower of the Lord, however, afflictions and chastenings are a sign or a mark of God's love and of His favor, and that He is definitely dealing with them. Hebrews 12:6 tells us very plainly, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Afflictions often cause bitterness to spring forth in those of the world. But to the followers of the Lord, as we also mentioned yesterday, they are not given to make us bitter, but they are given to us to improve us and to make us better. In closely looking at those two words, there is only one letter that makes a difference between the two. The letter I in the word bitter, we think tells a very definite story. And if the big I or self is in the picture, there is then the chance that perhaps we may not appreciate the experience and we may have somewhat of a tinge of bitterness that would come into us. But if our attitude is proper and we keep ourselves out of the picture, seeking to do the Lord's will, whatever that might be, then we can displace the I and put in its place the word E, which perhaps in this case can stand for endurance. And we can do this because we know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that He is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This can only be done when our faith is deep and our faith is personal, and we can appropriate the Father's help by laying hold upon His great and precious promises. From reprint 1885, we would like to quote, "Paul reached forward to the things that were before. His faith took hold of the promises of God with such tenacity that to him they were living realities, inspiring zeal and faithfulness. Upon the heavenly themes he allowed his mind to dwell, as he also advised others, saying, 'Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, or praiseworthy, think on these things.' This is the way he reached forward to the things that were before, and thus also we must gather our inspiration to holiness and our courage to endurance and persevering faithfulness even unto death." And then one other quotation from reprint 26:42. It says, "Each should cultivate faith in his own heart by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises, becoming very familiar with these in the Father's Word. And he should then seek more and more to remember that having made his covenant with the Lord, These promises are his. And in his heart and with his lips, he should claim them as his before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. He should claim them as his in his own thoughts and in his conferences on holy things with the brethren. When trials or difficulties or perplexities arise, he should think on these promises, remembering that they belong to him, because God has promised them to such as love him and who have made a covenant with him by self-sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Diaglot states this promise very beautifully, and it says it so clearly as well. It says, "No trial has assailed you except what belongs to man, and God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tried beyond your ability, but with the trial will also direct the issue that you will be able to bear it." Our King James Version does not really give us the proper thought. It speaks of making a way of escape. But we do not really want to escape our trials if we have the proper attitude of mind and wish to be rightly exercised. But rather, the Lord has promised to be with us in those trials, giving us his help, giving us his strength in that time of need. This promise must be grasped with a full assurance of faith. For as the Apostle John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 4, "This is the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith." Let us ever keep in mind that our Heavenly Father knows, and he loves, and he cares for us, and that he is ever watching out for all of our interests and is overruling all things in our life's affair for our eventual and eternal good. It is essential to keep this truth uppermost in our minds, for only then will we be able to have a proper perspective of all of life's experiences and vicissitudes. God is using today, he's using the present, to prepare us for all eternity. This is a very important thought, brethren, to keep in mind. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And then in 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 we read, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." It is in the expectation of trials and afflictions that our peace can be maintained. You might say to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We should never be surprised nor say, "Why me, Lord?" No, we should be thankful, even though the experience to the flesh may be hard and severe. A writer once wrote, "What is the reason for our many afflictions? The best steel is subjected to the alternates of extreme heat and extreme cold. In the making of cutlery, you will notice that knife blades are heated and then beaten and then heated again and plunged into the cold water in order to give them the right shape and the proper temper. You will also observe a large heap of rejected blades, rejected because they would not bear the tempering process. When put upon the grindstone, little flaws appeared in some that up to that point had seemed perfect. Others would not bear the tempering process. Likewise, his saints are heated in the furnace of affliction, plunged into the cold waters of tribulation, and ground between the upper and nether stones of adversity and disaster. Some come out ready for the highest service. Others, who do not have the proper attitude, are unfit for any but lower uses. Would you be of account among the forces which are working out his eternal purposes? If so, be still in the hands of God until he tempers you. Be still and let God temper and polish you, and you will really be worth something. Allow yourself to be prepared for his grand service. He will fit you for a post of holy renown if you will let him. Be still in the furnace of fire and affliction while his Holy Spirit molds and polishes you to be fit for the Master's use. You will then be to his everlasting praise and glory. And is that not your very goal? Psalms 119, 67, and 75 says this to us. It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me." Although this affliction that had come upon David was in recompense for his sins, we appreciate the attitude that you will find if you study this account. David knew that whatever happened to him, he was still in God's care, and he was firm in his belief that his God would never afflict him except out of his faithfulness and out of his love for him. If only, brethren, we could maintain this outlook in all of our experiences, how much easier and how much more profitable these things would be in our lives. They would perhaps not have to be repeated time and time again. Acceptance of our experiences not only brings peace of heart, but it also plays a major part in how much profit and what benefit we derive from them. Looking for the lessons in our afflictions and our adversities is indeed a prerequisite to learning the lesson that the Lord has in store for us. Again, it is not asking, "Why me, Lord?" but rather, "What, Lord, would you want me to learn in this thing?" Acceptance and quiet submission was beautifully displayed by our Lord in Mark 14:36, where we read his words, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." It was with this very attitude that Jesus placed himself totally in the hands of his loving Father. It was in this attitude that he was ready to face and to endure whatever might come to him. Jesus expressed not only his acceptance, but his total commitment, which we read about in John 18:11, where he said, "This cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Job, who had been put down by his so-called companions, his comforters, as well as even by his heartless wife, said in the midst of his afflictions, and without the benefit of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." This is recorded for our benefit in Job 13 and verse 15. One of the great benefits that comes to us by way of affliction, by way of suffering, when we are rightly exercised, is told to us in Hebrews 5:8, where we read of Jesus, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. From volume 5 and page 121, we would like to quote the pastor's comment on that scripture. It says, "And as the sufferings through which the captain was made perfect as a new creature were the things he endured through the opposition of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and through the submission of his own will to the Father's will, so with us, the suffering which counts in the development of the new creature are those voluntary and willing endurances on account of the Lord, and the Lord's word, and the Lord's people. The hardness which we endure is as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, while seeking to do not our wills, but to have perfected in us the will of our captain, the will of our Heavenly Father." The letters of the Apostle Paul were oftentimes filled with distressing facts or personal experiences that he had. You'll recall that he endured misunderstandings, misrepresentation, indifferences, ingratitude, maliciousness, slander, suspicion, shipwreck, weariness, sickness, hunger, poverty, shipwreck, weariness, called a traitor, even in prison, scourging, death threats, and besides all this, he had to also carry the burden of all the churches. His afflictions and sufferings were immense. We think that perhaps the Apostle Paul was second in line to the enduring of afflictions, our Lord, of course, being first. We also note that Paul spoke freely of his afflictions. But it is important to note that when he did this, his motivation was to encourage others, not to have others feel sorry for him or to elicit sympathy on his behalf. But in the sharing of these experiences, he was encouraging others, and mainly here in this account, he was encouraging Timothy to step out and to fulfill the commission that he had been given. And so, brethren, it is so with us, that if we are faithful, many things will be demanded of us. But if we have the right perspective, we keep the proper attitude, and we take the long view, we will then keep in mind that the Lord is with us, and he has promised to be our help in that time of need, and he will surely see us through. He will perform the great work that he has begun in each of us. May the Lord help all of you, brethren, to endure afflictions and make them very profitable to you as new creatures.